Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 96th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include TV producer Sally Ann Salsano. She's the producer of Jersey Shore and The Real, have a new docuseries available on Discovery Plus. We'll also visit with actress Karen Parsons, has a new movie Sweet Thing, which is available in limited theaters and virtually tomorrow. We'll also visit with YouTube stars Kristen and Danny Adams about their new book, The Road to Love and Laughter. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, leave a comment, even share some feedback, and visit the merch store. Now, Planet Fitness does a poll for Father's Day each year, even though it seems like it might hurt their business more than help it. An annual survey on dad bods found that they're more popular than ever. 70% of women now say it's an attractive look, and 69% of men with dad bods say they're confident about it now, up from 64% a few years ago. 80% of women think dad bods are a sign of confidence, 65% described it as a sexy look, and 59% would rather be with a guy who's got a little jiggle than someone who's solid muscle. Producer on television, you might know some of her shows, Jersey Shore, The Real, got a new docuseries that is streaming on Discovery Plus called Pushing the Line. We've got Sally Ann Salsano on with us. And first off, Sally Ann, appreciate you taking some time.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, this is kind of an exciting one for sure.
Now, what? How much different is the prospect on Pushing the Line as opposed to any of the dramatic shows you've worked on before?
Well, it's interesting, right? It's like it's an outdoor version, but it's still about a group of friends at the heart of it, right? So you still have that docuseries element about a group of friends spending time together, sharing their lives. Just what they're doing is so visually beautiful, yet scary, yet, oh my God, I would never do this. Who are these people? All rolled up in one. So it is a bit of a, oh my God, what's going to happen next kind of a show for sure.
Now, if folks haven't seen the previews or the trailers, Pushing the Line, tell our listeners a little bit about the concept behind the show, if you will.
Okay, so this is a group of friends, and what they do for fun is they basically think of a line about as wide as a belt that you would wear around your waist. They oftentimes tie it around a tree, a rock, over a mountain 500 to 1,000 feet off the ground, and they balance themselves walking across it. So if you think of like the movie Free Solo, this is about a group of friends. A lot of them are world record holders. They're very, very like famous, well-respected in their own right, in their world. And it is kind of like the craziest sport you almost never heard about in a weird way. The average person, you're like, what are they doing? But in their world, these guys are the Michael Jordans of their world.
Now, Sally Ann, for you, what is maybe the biggest misconception that was broken once the filming started? Maybe some preconceived notions you had.
I think you're like, who are these people? Why do they do it? Is this relatable? You know, all of that kind of stuff. And it's interesting. I love hearing their stories about why they do it and them being on the line. And I think it makes you relate to them and kind of question yourself a little bit and how you're living. Like, one of their things that they always say is, most people are afraid to die, we're afraid not to live. And that kind of, like, sticks with me, right? Because, like, everyone's so cautious. Like, I don't want to do that. What if I don't have enough time? What if I get hurt? And then you kind of, like, are like, I spend a lot of time on my sofa. You know what I mean? You kind of start thinking, like, I should maybe move more, you know, or live a little, get out there. You know, obviously at a level that you're comfortable. I'm not suggesting everyone go out and do this. This is a do not try this at home kind of show. But there is a little something to living in the moment and being present that I think, you know, more people need to do. And I think especially, you know, post-COVID, this is like a great show because it shows people actually, like, taking life by the horns, not letting life pass them by. And I think we all learned a little bit of that lesson in the past, you know, 2 years or year and a half.
Now, Sally Ann, as a producer, how much different is the landscape now as opposed to pre-COVID with all of the extra precautions you've got to take?
You know what? Every day is tough. Like, you know, it was interesting. We were all being tested on every show I do, but like, you know, you're getting swabbed daily and, you know, you're getting all kinds of tests and, you know, you can't go out. We're obviously all masked behind the scenes and, you know, you're not allowed to go out to dinner. You're not allowed to go in a store. You're not allowed to go anywhere but to your hotel room. The hallways are locked down. You're not allowed to be with a friend. It's very much to keep it safe. And it was funny on this show because the guys were like, we're also worried about COVID, yet we're hurling our bodies off of mountains and pulling a string from parachutes. You know, so it is a little bit of a, you know, it was definitely like it wasn't lost on us, but it is, you know, it's interesting. It is, I would say you spend about 50% of your day working on COVID, and then the rest of your day, you know, doing your regular job. It was keeping that many people safe. And the responsibility that is a huge one. And we took a lot of precautions and a lot of pride.
Now, Sally Ann, did you find it hard to find inspiration for new works over the last year? Did you find it was easier for you to get those creative juices flowing?
You know, I think you were forced into a box, right? Like you're at home. And I think at first it's like, oh, this will be a week or two. Like everyone, no one knew what was coming our way. And then I think there was like, you know, two ways to take it, right? You're either going to, you know, go at home and just, you know, sit at home and wait. And I think because of how our brain works and what our business is, we used it as a time to think, create, develop, and try and come up with new show ideas. And this show, I think, you know, really took on another life in COVID because it was an outdoor show. So we were able to get out there quicker than most shows because, you know, Kath lives outside. So it was all open air and that type of stuff. And that in this instance were to, you know, we were able to do it safely.
That's right. And again, Pushing the Line, available now, streaming on Discovery Plus. And Sally Ann, I always want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can find out more information about not only the docuseries, but everything else you've got going social media wise as well.
Well, go to 495productions.com. But it's all there. But for this, you can find any information on Discovery, Discovery Plus, for Pushing the Line. And check us out and spread the word. This is going to be the little show that could, because this is a bunch of people's dreams. And it's the kind of show I said, normally these shows guys watch and they're, you know, girls run out of the room. This is a show that even girls like. There's good story and it's about couples and there's dating and it's disguised by madness. So guys still love it. So it works for everybody.
There you go. Available on Discovery Plus, now streaming Pushing the Line. And Sally Ann Salzano, it's been great to have the chance to spend some time with you. Continued success and hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too. Be safe.
Now, soccer still isn't that big in the States, but here's how important it is on the world stage. Cristiano Ronaldo made the value of Coca-Cola drop by $4 billion, and it only took him 20 seconds. The 2020 UEFA European Football Championship is happening right now, and Coke is a major sponsor. On Monday, Ronaldo sat down for a press conference, and there were two bottles of Coke on the table in front of him. He moved them off camera, then held up his water bottle and said, "Agua," which means water in Portuguese. After he did that, shares of Coca-Cola just happened to drop 1.6%. from 56.17 to 55.22, reducing Coke's market value from $242 billion to $238 billion, a $4 billion loss. As of yesterday morning, it was even lower at just over $236 billion. Coca-Cola said, quote, "Everyone is entitled to their drink preferences." Do you remember the old drug PSA where a kid told his dad, "I learned from watching you"? Well, we might need one of those for snacking too. 53% of Americans say they inherited some of their bad snacking habits from their parents. And here are the top snacks we've been obsessed with since we were kids. Number 1, cookies. Number 2, potato chips. Number 3, popcorn. Number 4, pretzels. Number 5, corn chips. Number 6, cheese. Number 7, cured meats. Number 8, chocolate. Number 9, olives. And number 10, fresh fruit. Which surprised me, but 43% of people said that their parents also taught them about some healthier options when they want a snack. My might remember her from a small series back in the day, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, got a new movie that's in virtual theaters coming up tomorrow called Sweet Thing. We've got Karen Parsons on with us. And first off, Karen, appreciate you taking some time to be on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's really good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Sweet Thing, available virtually tomorrow. And man alive, what a year it's been, right, Karen?
Oh my goodness, it's crazy. But it's starting to feel a little bit like we're coming back to our new normal, I hope. Fingers crossed as I say that.
That's right. Now, tell our listeners a little bit about Sweet Thing, the story behind it, and how excited you are to get this out in front of fans tomorrow.
Oh, goodness. It was such a wonderful experience, a true labor of love. This was my husband, Alexander Rockwell, wrote and directed Sweet Thing. And it's loosely based on experiences from his childhood, or inspired by, I should say, some experiences and observations. And my son and daughter, Lana and Nico Rockwell, or daughter and son, Lana and Nico Rockwell, star in the film, and they're fantastic. I'm in the film as well, and so is Will Patton, the wonderful Will Patton, and it's a really great film about childhood and kind of where it intersects with adulthood in this case in a kind of tumultuous way, but it's very hopeful. Jabari Watkins is another wonderful character who shows up in the film in these kids' lives and brings this kind of enchantment and fun and real like vigor of childhood and freedom to these children. It's a really beautiful film shot in black and white. And there are these punctuations of glorious saturated color that are like gifts. Every time they show up, they're unexpected and they feel like candy. It's just a really beautiful experience. I was so excited to be a part of it and so proud of my family in all of their efforts putting this together.
Now, how hard was it to corral the youngsters? Was Dad doing a pretty good job? Were you impressed by him on the screen?
Oh yeah, he's great to watch work. I love. I've worked with him once before, a long time in the beginning of our career, which was a very different experience, I have to say, than this one. I was really frustrated working with him then, and this was a much easier experience. And for me, a lot of it was kind of naturally. I can't help it, but being tending to my kids and watching them a little bit more than I was focusing on my acting part of it. That's just, naturally how you get, if you're in it with your kids, that's where my attention's going to mostly be. But my, they were so professional, getting up early in the morning, knowing their lines, knowing their beats, knowing their characters, and emotionally being prepared to hit everything and do it again and again. I was just so impressed with them and their professionalism and their talent. And no, they didn't. I mean, my son gave my husband gave his dad a hard time, here and there, but not nothing big and just nothing bruising. It was just brief little like, Dad, I think you're working me too hard. I think I need a break, after. he'd do a few of those and he'd go right back and hit his mark and hit his lines perfectly. And then they'd say cut and he'd say it again. Dad, I'm serious. I really think I need a sandwich. And so he was funny. my daughter just was, no complaints at all, took everything. And that's not easy when your dad is kind of getting rough and going, no, I need you to really do this. And, she didn't fight back, as kids want to with their parent. Instead, she understood the relationship that this is a director, actor, not, and she respected it and just did her best. And she is so good in the film. She carries this film. She sings in the film. And every time I see it, I saw it at the Tribeca Film Festival last night. And every time I see it, I am bowled over all over again by their performances. I'm proud. I'm just so proud of all of them, my husband and his work. It's just so, so beautiful. And I'm really happy that he insisted I do it because I didn't want to. And so I'm really glad that he made me.
Now, Karen, sitting back and now looking back to the final product as well, I mean, obviously you've got to take pride in your work, but how much different is it whenever you've got the kiddos involved? I mean, that sense of pride you've got.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's a whole different thing. It's a whole different experience. I don't think of it as my film or anything, or I'm just thinking of it as theirs. I'm so proud of them and the work. And that's what I'm thinking of when I go, even when we go to festivals, you know, before the pandemic, we were in Berlin and got the Crystal Bear Award. And, mm-hmm. and I'm up there and I'm not feeling like, it's so funny because it's, I'm not feeling like I normally would, which is, oh, I'm the actor in this film. This is my film. I don't feel like that. I feel like I'm the mom of these kids and I'm so proud of my husband. You know, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm in it too. I worked. I forgot. I'm on the screen. You know, and I forget because my relationship is primarily with them and supporting them. So it's a very different relationship to a film for me.
That's right. Again, Sweet Thing is available virtually in virtual theaters coming up tomorrow. And Karen, I always want to make sure and let folks know not only where they can find more information about the new film, but also everything you've got going social media wise as well.
You're asking where?
Yes, ma'am.
Find out. I mean, I can visit me on, I have a website now. Hopefully you can find it. It's at karen-parsons.com. If not there, you can also, the film is also going to be in the IFC Theater in New York and the Lemley in Los Angeles starting tomorrow, Friday. You can look for me, my organization, Sweet Blackberry, sweetblackberry.org, and learn more about what we're doing over there. And I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, Karen Parsons. Not too hard to find and see all of the stuff that's going on.
There you go. Well, Karen, it has truly been a privilege to have the chance to spend some time with you. Continued success to you. Have a great weekend, and looking forward to premiere night tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
How many cups of coffee do you drink on a normal workday? A new poll found one or two cups is a pretty common answer, but some of us are drinking a lot more than that. Number one, one or two cups tied with 21% of the vote each. Number two, 11% of people said three cups. Number three, 6% said four. Number four, 3% said five. Number five, 2% said six cups. And number six, another 2%, drink at least 7 cups of coffee a day. Around 1 in 3 people said that they don't usually drink coffee. That was actually the most common answer in the poll. When we were all stuck at home during the pandemic, I guess everyone had the same thought. I mean, if I'm not around people, I might as well stink. Well, 68% of Americans admit that they intentionally avoided deodorant at some point during the lockdown because they just didn't see the point. And yes, there was a big drop in deodorant sales because of it. 59% of people were also less active in general last year and worked out less, so that's another reason we used less of it. 55% of us think that we'll probably use more deodorant this year, though. You might have seen them on the screen. You might have seen them on the little screen as well. We've got Kristen and Danny Adams. You know them from YouTube. Got a new book we're going to be talking about. And first off, Kristen and Danny, appreciate you guys taking the time.
Oh, thank you, Cameron. It's nice to meet you, for having us on.
And connecting you guys in Indiana, we were doing a little rehashing on Hoosier lore, if you will. How has Indiana been this last year? Is being away from everybody made it nicer?
You're horrible. This was a tough year for all of us, but yeah. You know, Indiana's opening back up and we're grateful to, we just had an event this morning downtown entertaining for the Indiana Clerks Association, if you want to know who we were interviewing for, a bunch of judicial people.
Yep.
But it was one of, you know, now the events are opening back up and we're getting back out there, we're kind of the first event for a lot of people. And so it's been really just great to see how excited people are to see each other's faces again, you know?
Yeah, when we're not making videos on the internet, that's what we do. We do live events. So that's what has us go out. It's a big part of our livelihood is going out and entertaining and any type of live event. So
It was hard to not have that
for 14 months. But in terms of just being in Indiana, it actually was pretty nice. We lived in California for 15 years, have a lot of friends out there. And that was a whole other world for them the past year.
So just talking to them, just the difference. And we're grateful that mm-hmm. we had a lot of wide open space here in Indiana to enjoy, you know, during the lockdown. So
now the book, The Road to Love and Laughter, was this a pandemic book, or was this the inspiration, or was this something you guys actually were working on before?
I know, like, some people had, like, you know, pandemic babies. We made a book baby during the pandemic, but we actually had a book deal before, you know, COVID entered the world. But we wrote all of it during our time home last year. And some people were like, was that kind of like, you know, good that you guys didn't have events and you were able to be home and like focus on the book? And it was to some degree, but you work in a creative space, Cameron. So it's like, sometimes the more you're doing, the more creative you are. It's like it produces that creative flow in your life.
Yeah.
And Danny and I are like that. And so, and I like being around people, but Danny loves being around people. Mm-hmm. And so for him to not have that for a year, it really was hard to find our groove for a minute.
Yeah.
But the way we did this book was not traditional. We
weren't working on anything to begin with. It was something that we were approached by.
Yeah, we didn't have a manuscript.
No.
Someone heard us on a podcast like yours.
Yeah, so the publishing company called as soon as we had the podcast. And they said, hey, we heard you on such and such podcast. We'd love to talk to you about a book, possibly.
They were like, what you said on that podcast needs to be, you need to expound on that and put it in a book. And so for a long, you know, when you're video people, you're kind of like, are we writers? Like, can we write a book? Like, I don't know. And to tell you the truth, we were walking through an airport back from an event, and I saw a book in like the books at the airport. And it was Megan Mullally, who plays Karen on Will and Grace, and her husband, who's on Park and Rec. They had a book out, and it was called The Greatest Love Story Ever Told. Cheeky, right? They're like, we're the greatest love story ever told. And they had this funny cover, and I went over and I picked it up. And the way it was written was that they were having like a conversation with each other. You open it up and it was like a transcript for like a podcast.
Yep.
And I was like, babe, we should totally do this. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
And that really freed us up to start writing, to kind of take the scariness of writing a novel, like we're going to be Hemingway or something, you know, without drama in our life, hopefully. But we were able to sit down and record and just start telling our story. And it gave us a kind of an anchor to start. So
what was the scariest part of the writing process?
Writing the words.
Yeah.
Starting.
Smith and crafting words. No, really, you know, it was fun writing together, mm-hmm. but it's also hard when you're two authors, because it was like, we weren't sure how that was going to work. Right, mm-hmm. babe?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and I, you know, growing up, I inner city public schools, thought of myself of writing a book. Not that you can't come in there, but it was never on the radar. I know how to get up and entertain. I was trying to graduate, get out, entertain, whatever. But honestly, the book thing, I think we maybe saw it down the road. I think it was something that, hey, we're kind of in a marriage space in terms of what we do. And that could be something that once we reach a certain age,
all of our marriage wisdom, then write a book.
Go away to the woods and, you know, for a few weeks and write a book, but never was it on our radar at this time in our life. But the publishing company was great. They held our hand through it all and said, no, this is something that you can do.
And it ended up being super fun. Yeah. And we started realizing, like, you know, you can tell your story for a long time and then it becomes familiar to you and you're like, is this going to help anybody? Mm-hmm. Is anyone going to relate to this? And it does. Like, your story matters, and it's so helpful to get it out on the page so that other people can be inspired, you know, and that's what we hope our book does. It's like, we want you to laugh. We tell a lot of funny stories. We tell the first time Danny met my Texas father, you know, who was an avid hunter and a decorated Marine sniper. So that was not intimidating to come back from, you know, we met in California. We lived there 15 years and it was like, hey, it's time to come meet my Texas dad, you know, and I gave him zero heads up on what he was walking into. Yeah. So just that chapter alone is great. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about, you know, our cross-country move from California to Indy, which we'd never talked about in our marriage ever before, leaving California. Like, I thought we were going to raise the kids out there, live there forever, had no plans to move. So just going through that life change together. and then leaving careers. You know, I was a television host for 15 years in LA and worked for a ton of different networks. The entertainment industry is out there. And so I for sure never thought I was going to leave there. And we left here to start making, you know, family-friendly videos where God is always welcome. That was our mission. That's all we had. We had that mission statement, didn't
That's
we?
It. That's it.
And we were like, let's start making videos. And Danny, at the time, you know, Apple used to give, let you come take like any classes you wanted to if you bought like a computer from them or something right. like that. They since stopped that program because I think because of Danny,
yeah.
Because he was in charge of all those classes.
Yes.
And was there anytime it was open and learned how to edit and it got, you know, got at least a jumping off point.
Yeah. I think when you,
so that's what we moved with was what I was going to say. Yes. Your Apple classes.
Yes.
And
that's
it. Statement.
That's all we had.
So go ahead. That's
what was maybe the starting point with the videos? I mean, was it just maybe a little therapeutic when you guys first started doing that? Did you really expect much feedback or maybe how surprised were you by the feedback?
Yeah. The first one, you know, living in Los Angeles and being in Hollywood, traditional ways of getting work were starting to shift. And you know, especially for Kristen and what she does, annual work, because Kristen was a successful television host for 15 years. And then she started going to auditions and they started wanting to know what the influence was.
Like, you know, what's your social media influence? This was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, what does that have to do with my ability to host a television show? And so
when that work went away for her, it was sort of like, hey, we have zero social media presence. And either we get in this or we're going to have to figure something out. And we feel like, you know, we're called to what we do. So it's like, hey, let's get creative, not wait on what Hollywood is going to dictate, you know, what we do or don't do. Let's just create our own content. So we were literally coming home from an event one night and a Whitney Houston song came on the radio and the whole lip sync sort of culture came back swinging around back from the 80s.
Now it's back big time, obviously, yeah. with TikTok and stuff. But this was this was 10 years. No.
2015 was our very first video.
So 6 years ago was our very first video. And so it was still like it was kind of coming back around.
Yeah.
And I just threw the idea out. I was like, babe, what if we just did a lip sync to this song? We both clearly know the words. He was singing every single word with me that night.
I had done a Whitney Houston lip sync when I was 10 years old at the annual street fair here in Indianapolis. So I'm very familiar with her work. A couple mornings later, you know, we had a lot of costumes and silly things to throw on just through being in entertainment for as long as we have. And so we threw it
it's
on.
It's normal to have prop and costume wigs, right, Cameron?
Yeah, apparently I don't have enough.
It's going to be some.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So that's we actually need a bald wig. We don't have a bald cap.
Yeah.
See, we need to, we'll send you some wigs with hair and then we need to get ourselves a bald wig. but we posted that I Want to Dance with Somebody was the first lip sync. And like he said, we had a few hundred people of our friends just on Facebook following us at that point. And we posted it and it got like 40,000 views. And we thought, well, we don't know 40,000 people. That's good, right? Like it's more than just our friends and family watching. And so we did another one like a few weeks later. We did Everybody Dance Now and it got the same amount of response. And so we thought maybe there's something here. And when we got to Indiana, we changed up the kind of way we did it. We did more songs and we really upped the costuming. We you know, just got as elaborate as we could in the front seat of our car.
And it marked us going full time too. In LA, we were kind of sporadic with what we could do based on our time commitments and raising two children. We had a little guy that had just arrived. So when we got back to Indiana, it was saying, hey, to do, if we really want to do this, we really got to like jump all the way in and go full time with it. So coming back here, it allowed us to just say, hey, consistency is everything.
Yeah.
Let's do a video every single week and promise our people that on Friday they will be getting a video. And that's what we did. And then at the 8 month mark is when our videos started going viral. And so that's
one in particular went, it had like 300 or 400 million views on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
Like Viral Thread and some other big
over in the UK.
Notable Facebook accounts started sharing it, asked if they could share it natively. And we were like, sure. And so it went viral on our page, then it went viral on their page. And overnight we went from like 60,000 followers to 500,000 followers. And then over the course of the next several months, got up to 1 million over on Facebook. And so it was a wild ride for sure.
Yeah.
We did not think that. No, we did not think that in answer to your question when we did our first lip sync video that it was going to resonate like that.
No, it was more, it was honestly, Cameron, something that you just, when you do what you want to do, that's something that you love.
What entertains yourself.
What entertain, and that if anything, it's to show your kids years from now to say, look.
That's what we said.
Let's have fun.
Hey, at least Harper and Holt can look back and be like, look at my ridiculous mom and dad. Like, they had fun together. That's what we said. And that's the worst that can happen.
He wasn't always napping. He used to actually smile and laugh.
Exactly. And he's a napper now. Are you a napper?
He's a napper. If I'm ever given the time, I love a nap.
Yeah.
Like, he can fall asleep faster than anyone I've ever seen. And right before we had this interview, we actually both took a nap because we had that event this morning. Like, we need to get, you know, be fresh for Cameron. And normally, like, he's the guy that can fall asleep right away and just needs a solid 10 minutes. And then he wakes up like, bing, I'm good. I need like hours. I have for hours. 10 minute nap does nothing for me.
See, my dad was a pastor, and he used to come home at lunch every day, and he did the 15-minute power nap, and you didn't have to set an alarm. I mean, he closed his eyes, and 15 minutes later, he's up and out the door. If he slept 17 minutes, his day was ruined.
Right. That's
my dad. Growing up in ministry, my father's the same way. He comes home, and it is clockwork.
Yeah. Now, for you guys, you mentioned ministry there as well. How do you see not only the entrepreneurial side of things, but also the ministry aspect, and keep the two of those married together at all times as well?
Yeah. You know, I think for a long time, I think culture now, especially within like the Christian community, is getting more open to the idea that like faith should permeate your whole life if you're a person of faith, right? But I think for some of us, it can be very like, okay, that's what I do on Sundays. I go to church and then I have my business. And then, you know, and even the word ministry was very scary to me. Danny grew up in a family that did traditional ministry. They were singing evangelists. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know what that was. I was like, what is singing? Do you knock on people's doors and just start singing?
Door to door.
Hello, my darling. Hello, my honey. Let me tell you about Jesus. And so I did not know what that was. And they would go church to church and sing harmony together and all play instruments. And that was just his that was normal to him growing up. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I just, you know, I went to church on Sunday and then I left and I lived my life in the week. And then I came back and talked about God on Sunday. And then I left and did my life for the week. And so for us, when we kind of reframed our faith in our 20s, when we lived in Los Angeles, we just kind of both had a major rededication to and commitment to following Christ. And it radically changed both of us, and it changed our perspective, and it changed kind of everything we wanted to do and how we saw like our place in the world. And so it just kind of became whether we're making a lip sync video or we're actually quote unquote doing ministry and on a stage and talking about how Jesus changed our marriage. We just wanted him to be a part of it all and permeate it all and use it all if he could. It was like, I know we're looking silly in this video and I'm Dolly Parton and you know, you're Kenny Rogers, you know, but if someone can be blessed by that, Lord, let him be blessed. And so we just kind of see it all as one and try to not compartmentalize and go, okay, it does get hard when you work together 100% of the time as a married couple. Like, we see each other all the time. We're in the same house where he might be in the editing cave, you know, more than I would like, cause I don't see him then, but we're still here and around each other. So it's kind of weird to wear different hats, you know, when you're the wife and you're like, I'm coming in as with my producer hat on and I need to say something about the video, or it can kind of get a little funky and you have to remind yourselves like, look, what we do is unique and let's give ourselves some grace. And
I think the people, you know, when you do anything as a couple, what you're doing just speaks. And the fact that what we do in terms of, you know, whether it's dressing up in costume, laughing together, all those things, that speaks. There's the gospel is like in that because I think people just see the love. And we just get the great opportunities when people say, man, how do you do that? How can you keep laughing? Or people can't imagine dressing up and getting in the front seat of their car with their spouse and doing all of that.
More than once.
Yeah, like it really blows.
On purpose.
On purpose. Like, we plan them now.
Yeah. And I think that in itself inspires, you know, we, when we had kind of gone radical for Jesus back when we were dating. I remember going to my pastor when it was our wedding, and we had family members who didn't know Christ. And we're like, man, can you like say something up there that would inspire them to like know Christ? And he's like, you know what? Just you standing up there alone speaks volumes. And it speaks, yeah. He's like, just that love, because the love that we have here represents Christ in itself.
And that's what, you know, Jesus said. He's like, I will be known by the love you guys have for one another. Yeah. And so for us, we were like, however we can put that on display, and not that it's perfect all the time, which is why we wrote the book, The Road to Love and Laughter, because people watch a video of us being stupid and silly in the front seat of our car and having fun together and thinking that that's what we're like all the time, and that our marriage is just a barrel of laughs, you know, 24/7. And we do kind of covet laughter. Like we do think it's a hugely important and a big vital sign for relationships. And we definitely think it's something that the church specifically needs, because I think we can be so deadly serious about our faith that we forget to be joyfully alive in it at the same time. And so I think laughter has a huge, you know, spirituality like to it. But we're two people and we are flawed people, and we have just as much funk and junk in our life, you know, and that we have to work through and deal with as anyone else. And so we just kind of didn't want people, we wanted people to go, hey, look, here's the story. Like, we are the people that have fought on the way to counseling. You know, we are the people that have fought on the way to host our own marriage event, you know, where we're here to encourage people and we're backstage, you know, working something out. And so, but we always, now that we've resigned to the fact that like, look, we're not leaving, you know, I'm not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. Like, we're in this to get better. I want to be a better person. And that's really what we want to encourage people to be like, look, marriage isn't about your happiness. You know, go eat a chocolate bar if you want to be happy. Like, I don't know what makes you happy for a moment, like do that. But that's not what this is designed for. It's designed to make you better. And if you stay in it and stay in the good fight, you will grow and you will get better and you will see this beautiful thing that starts to take shape, you know, year after year, if you stay in the fight.
Now, another question along with the writing and doing video editing, which is a harder edit? Was editing down on the book and being like, we're not going to put that in. What's the harder edit? Is video or writing?
Ooh.
I know my answer, because you do most of the editing.
Yeah. Well, here's a great question that we've never been one. We've never been asked it, because I did the video editing and she does the book editing. So, I mean, we have a book, you know, an editor from the publishing company, but Kristen takes what we do and it goes through the Kristen filter first.
Yeah. Like Danny, our process, when you were talking about writing together, we did a lot of it was just like audio talking out loud. Like we would have conversations and I would just be capturing it and typing as fast as I could as he's talking and trying to put it all in there. And he's right. Like, I'm more of the words person. So he would take, he's like, babe, I wrote what I can remember about, you know, singing with my family growing up, now make it sound good, you know? And I'm like, okay, let me try. And
I remember
then,
the
and then
stories.
He'd read it and he'd go, I would never say that. We need to change that. You know? but we had, it was definitely to me harder to edit the book, because I feel like, I'm like, is this going to be our only book? If it's our
That's
only
true.
Book,
yeah.
We need to put everything in there. And I'm thinking more about the kids. Like, the kids need to know this, and this. Yeah. And so it was kind of hard to go, maybe we should just say that. We don't need to put the kitchen sink in there. You know, we can wait and maybe there'll be another one, or maybe they won't. And you will leave them wanting more, you know, type of thing. But I feel like at this point, the video editing, even though it's time consuming.
And there's some edits in terms of sitting behind the computer and doing what we do with the video. I look forward to it. There's other ones that are like, man, this is a beast of an edit.
Yeah.
you know, you do a vlog and you're outside, you got the outdoor elements and sound and all the things.
Those are the hardest ones when we do our local treasures, because we're just kind of run and gunning it and like shooting on the fly. We always have our kids with us, which they make the videos so much greater. But we're just dealing with a lot of like he goes back and he watches the footage, and it's just so many hours
of stuff to see. When you bring the kids in, you have so much more footage because you're wanting to capture gold, and you know, and you just never know what happened.
They're not scripted, so you're just like, you know, recording, and then but with the lip syncs, now we kind of have a formula. We know we're singing this part of the song. He and he'll take it back every day, like that we shoot, and like dump it in the timeline and kind of try to stay on top of it.
And we just know that that's going to be, you know, a week and a half process. So it's something that's fun for us. And it's fun in what it does for people, you know, people look forward to it and that kind of thing. And they have, it's fun to know that that's going to happen.
I know if I hear him laughing while he's editing, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good video.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you can laugh at something that you've seen over, because you have to watch it over and over and over and over again, like he's still laughing. This is good. This is a good one.
I'm not the video guy. I'm a radio guy and now audio podcast. Do a couple of snippets for video. But yeah, there's been a couple of times I'm sitting in here and I'm editing down the Zoom interview and I'll have to replay something. And my daughter is in the other room going, why are you still laughing? Aren't you listening to that interview? Aren't you editing? I'm like, yeah, it was just gold. It was gold. It happens.
Now, do you have a fish tank behind you?
I do. I brought this in a couple of weeks ago. I got two Oscars in there. They're itty bitty ones.
Okay.
So you're a new fish owner?
New to this room. I've been a fish owner for about 25 years. Yeah.
Gotcha. Because that was a pandemic purchase for us. And everyone was getting like dogs and doing all that. And we were like, let's start with fish. And we thought it was going to be easy. But as you know,
no, it is not easy.
Let's just tell the folks out there that are thinking of buying a fish, do not buy your tank and your fish on the same day. Don't do that. No. Right? You should do a whole, since you're a 25-year fish tank owner, you should tell the people and save them the heartache of taking the dead fish back while the kids
How are many there. Times? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And they let you do it. They know when you're checking out of the store that those fish are going to die. Because your tank is not ready.
Yeah.
But you only have an hour in that bag and your tank has to set up for 48 hours at least. So
at least. Yeah. We had all the things. We learned a lot about fish. Now, granted, we went the fish route partially because, you know, we were considering a dog, but man, the prices on little doggies went through
crazy
the roof.
And we knew when events opened up, we travel a lot and we didn't want to do that to our doggy, but our fish, after we worked out the kinks, the first month, now we have a fish tank and we've had the same fish in there alive for almost 9-10 months now. Look at us.
Awesome. I thought you were going to say like 9 or 10 days. Exactly. As the schedule is opening up, how are the dates coming together for the summer and the fall?
Yeah, we just came off of three great events, now four counting today, but we were in Mackinac Island a few weeks ago up there doing a marriage event with Jay and Laura LaFoon. Then we went down to Orlando. We did a Christian music broadcasters event. So it's all Christian radio from across the country gather for this annual event. And we emceed that for 3 days.
That was a blast.
And then we had a fundraiser. And then today it was just kind of a bringing some entertainment to a little conference. So I think people overwhelmingly, like Kristen said, are just happy to be together. And,
so happy to be together right now. It's been a joy to be able to do what we do and kind of coming out of this whole year, being able to witness like from the stage, looking out into a crowd, rarely do people like start with a smile. You know what I mean? Like before you start entertaining, like you kind of got to get them with like your first joke and then they're like, oh, okay. Like almost every event, people are like,
yeah.
What do you got? We're so excited to be here.
We got a sitter. This is crazy.
But around our book launch, we're going to be, our book comes out July 20th, and we're going to be out doing a marriage event in Illinois that week. We have one in California we're going to, I think in October. Mm-hmm. And they're just slowly, you know, trickling in. And a lot of the events we had on the books for 2020 are now calling to kind of reschedule. So we're in the process of you know, now everybody's like, we need to reschedule and they all want the same time frame. So we're just excited to get back out there again and bring some love and laughter to people's way. So
that's cool. Now, Kristen and Danny, if folks want to find out more information about the book, like you said, the release date coming next month, upcoming dates and more information, social media, YouTube, all that, where's the best place to keep up with everything?
Yeah, you can find us on most social platforms at Kristen and Danny, and I'm Kristen with two I's. And then our book, you can go to theroadtoloveandlaughter.com. Theroadtoloveandlaughter.com.
Well, Kristen and Danny, it is great to have a chance to visit with you guys. Appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule today. Danny, I'm glad you got that nap in, the power nap. I'm so glad.
I don't know what I would have done, Cameron. I mean, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, you're a great host, man.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 96th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, a question, anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook, all at gqwithcam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, visit our merch store where we've got hoodies, shirts, stickers, tumblers, mugs, and much more. That's gqwithcam.com/shop. If you'd like to help out and support the podcast with a one-time donation, you can also go to buymeacoffee.com/gqwithcam. And if you do have a special guest idea, email me gqwithcam@gmail.com. Thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your Thursday.